Welcome, 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 Housers, to another episode of On the Way Home. I am your host, Michael Braithwaite. I have the great pleasure of working with the good folks at Blue Door. Blue Door has been doing great work in the northern part of the GTA, in York region, Peel region, Durham region, the areas of poverty reduction, homelessness, health, and of course, quality, well-paying, and well-meaning employment. Check out all we do at bluedoor.ca. If you want to learn a little bit more, we do this in partnership with the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness. I'm sure you've heard of them. They are a national group doing all sorts of incredible, impactful work around advocacy, training, and much, much more. Check out their work at caeh.ca. Let's talk about today's guest. Hey, we're going to talk about pets today, and you're probably thinking, wait a second, I thought this was a podcast around affordable housing, homelessness, poverty reduction, and it is. But quite often, as we know, people experiencing homelessness, they might have pets, and finding housing for those individuals, whether it be emergency housing or shelters, whether it be temporary housing, long-term housing, is very, very difficult when people have pets. People see pets as family, and they're not willing to just walk away from their pet, nor should they, to find housing. And so you have that tension point in between, and how do you deal with that? So today we have a guest. We have Ashley Travis. She's from the PEI Humane Society. We talk a little bit about what that looks like in the province of PEI. With a population of under 200,000, they are serving that entire province. And they have seen over the past few years, we talk about how they've seen the need for their services skyrocket. And why is that? Well, a lot of that has to do with the cost of housing. And with people trying to go into housing and being refused it because of their pets, where they have to give up their pet. So they're housing all sorts of pets because of this. And they see that only growing as the rental, as more and more people enter, have to step away from home ownership because of unaffordability, step into rental, and this becomes a challenge. Even more so in a province like PEI, in Ontario and many provinces, you have the RTA does not allow landlords to discriminate against pets or openly discriminate. They still can. And we talk about that a little bit. But at PEI, they are allowed to just say, if you have pets, you know, we can't rent to you. And how do you work around that? It's a huge challenge. This Humane Society at PEI actually talks about Safe Haven, a program they have where they can actually board and help you take care of your pets. It's a program you apply for if you're in that situation where you're stuck with your housing needs and you can find housing, but you can't take your pets. They bide some time to get you into that housing and work it through. It's an incredible program. And one of the reasons they've seen the number of pets they support skyrocket, as they're even looking to build a new building to try and meet that need. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. We talk about what's happening, why things have changed, what needs to change, the hopes for the future, their programming, and much, much more. It's an amazing conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Let's go to that conversation now. Ashley, so excited to have you on the pod today. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, very happy to be here.
Listen, before we get rolling into the really, really good stuff, we have to ask our standard question we ask everyone who comes on the podcast, and that is, what does home mean to you?
That's such a heavy question, especially with the subject matter at hand today. But I think it's sort of twofold for me. It's both a spiritual and a physical experience. So yeah, my home is the place I share with my partner and with my pets, and it's also the place I can rest, where I can, you know, be myself, where I can feel safe at the end of a day. The stability of having a roof over my head and knowing that I have a safe place to leave my pets every day. It's a meeting place for my family and my friends, and it's a place that I return to every day that's mine and that I know is mine. And so for me, it's that sense of security almost that comes with it. And I'm acutely aware of that doing the work that I do. So yeah, I think for me, it winds up with the word security, safety.
Very cool. And that is a common thread when we ask this question. People talk about being secure and being safe. So thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about your journey into this work, because we always want to learn a little bit more about our guests.
Yeah, sure. So my education is actually in public relations. I was not on a nonprofit trajectory. I was only experienced in the nonprofit world from a volunteer standpoint. I had never worked in this realm before, but I had always volunteered with rescues and animal shelters no matter where I lived. I was always interested in their work, and animal welfare has always been something special to me. I've rescued two dogs myself. So the idea of getting into this work was always something I was deeply passionate about, but I saw it more as sort of a side project, something I would dedicate my evenings and weekends to. And when my role came up as being available and I put my name forward to it, it was sort of just like the stars aligned, because not only was I trained in this work, I do development, I do, you know, community engagement, that kind of thing. I'm also deeply passionate about animal welfare and where animals fit within our community. So getting the opportunity to represent and to work for the only animal shelter in the entire province of Prince Edward Island is a huge privilege for me. And it's something I'm deeply dedicated to.
And that's a great segue into, tell us a little bit more about the Humane Society of PEI. Just kind of paint the landscape for people around the country. What does it look like? You're serving the whole province, but for people to understand, how big is that province and what kind of a scope are we looking at?
Yeah, it depends on what time of the year you're asking that question when it comes to population. Of course, a lot of people know PEI as being the vacation destination. They might have a cottage here, that kind of thing. So our population does get a little bit closer to 200,000 in the summer, but we still sit around 180,000 people throughout the rest of the year. So we, as the only animal shelter, we're located just outside of Charlottetown. For those who may have traveled here before, we are right next to the airport. So you've probably driven by us if you've been to PEI. But we are, the only animal shelter on the island. So we serve everybody from tip to tip, from the westernmost to the easternmost point. We have animal protection officers that work with us as well. So they actually handle bylaw enforcement and they do some contract work in various municipalities across the province. So our work is quite expansive. The shelter itself is only about 7,500 square feet. It's not a huge building. We're in the process of building a new animal shelter on this same property. So if you do get a chance to drive by the shelter, you'll see a huge construction project behind our current building. And that's because the demand for our work has gotten so high over the last several years. We last year saw over 1,600 animals, which broke every record in our books. We had never seen that many before. And we anticipate that 2024 is going to further break that record. We expect to hit 1,700 or 1,800 animals this year. Just with the increase in demand on our programs and services, those aren't all animals that are going up for adoption. Those are sometimes animals that require emergency housing or assistance in rehoming, things like that. So because of the expanse of our work, we should really be probably three buildings spread across the province. So we do a lot of heavy lifting here, that's for sure.
Let's start.
Construct, a social enterprise by Blue Door, provides high quality residential and commercial construction and property services in the Greater Toronto Area. More than a business with a heart, Construct is a real solution to preventing and ending homelessness. Through its 8-week paid skills trades training program, complete with wraparound supports and on-the-job work experience, Construct lifts people out of poverty and into opportunity. To hire Construct for your next project or learn more about Construct's employment program, visit constructgta.ca.
I'll back a little bit. You talked about crazy growth, and then you talked about housing. And so this is a podcast that's primarily based around affordable housing, homelessness, but there is a link to the Humane Society. What are you seeing at the Humane Society? What has changed over the last little while that has seen this massive increase, and how does it affect you? Where's your part?
Yeah. So, well, in terms of raw numbers, our intakes have grown by about a third over the last 5 years. If we look at pre-pandemic numbers, we're seeing about a third more animals in 2023 as we were in 2018. So that alone has a huge connotation for us operationally. But if we look at it in terms of intake, we're always asking folks, what's forcing you to surrender your animal? What conditions are coming to you that are forcing you to walk in our door with your beloved pet today? And we always get the usual, you know, I cannot afford to look after them anymore, or some other, my personal circumstances have changed. But the vast majority of animals coming in, I'm going to say between 70 and 80% of those animals that are being surrendered, the main reason is housing instability. Whether it is their lease is ending, and the new apartment that they're acquiring will not allow them to keep their cat, or it is someone new has bought their property and they're not allowing them to keep their animal, or they cannot afford the pet deposit requested by their landlord. So there's a lot of those key factors that are playing into it. Of course, the cost of high rents and things like that too. If you have an animal that has specialized needs, let's say they're on a special food or something along those lines, that animal can be especially expensive. And with budgets being as tight as they are these days with inflation, you know, you're moving into a new apartment. Yes, it might be pet friendly, but you might not be able to swing the added cost of your pet's special food along with the extra $50 a month in rent. So there's a lot of those stories that we're hearing right now, and folks are just having to choose in a lot of cases between having a roof over their head and keeping their pet with them.
Yeah. So, and we've talked with a lot of people on this podcast around, a lot of people don't even see that as a choice. They'd rather not have a roof over their head because they would never do that to family. Pets are family. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about how PEI is a little different too, because say in Ontario, where a landlord is not allowed to discriminate if you have pets, not the same in PEI, am I correct?
You are correct. Yeah, there was a discussion last year, I believe, or the year before, about changing the Residential Tenancy Act to see about adding an amendment similar to what is in Ontario, and it was shot down pretty quickly. There is a lot of protection in place for landlords here, and I can understand a lot of those reasons. It's you know, it's a private business, it's an investment for individuals. However, when I'm doing my work and I see these animals who are well loved and who are well looked after and who've been given everything in the world, these are animals that shouldn't have to be surrendered. These are animals that shouldn't have to come here. And we see the trauma from the animal side. I can only imagine how deeply it affects the people who have to make that choice and who have had to surrender those animals.
Well, I think too, as we look at how the world is changing, how our country is changing, and I think that home ownership is further and further out of reach for so many Canadians, and that might not be a bad thing, but as we look at more people having to go into the rental space, and more people with animals, and people who want the right, you know, and should be able to love and care for animals, this is a huge challenge and will only get bigger, don't you think?
Absolutely. And we know there's a lot of study out there on how animals in your life improve resiliency during times of crisis. We know that there are folks who are unhoused, who are living outside, who are choosing to not go to a shelter every night because they don't have a shelter local to them that will allow them to bring their dog with them. We know that there are people who make that choice every single day. And if 60% of Atlantic Canadians have pets, which is the statistic I most recently heard, that impacts a lot of people. And that is a huge, huge demographic in Atlantic Canada alone that are going to be impacted directly by the changes to residential tenancy agreements, to new landlord agreements, and these people are all living right at that line for the most part, like a lot of us. So it's, for a lot of folks, it is, you know, one new landlord away, or you're one missed paycheck away from unfortunately having to make that choice.
Well, I'll tell you a quick, funny personal story. We rent in the city of Toronto, and although you cannot discriminate, they still do. I mean, they just come up with a different reason not to rent you. So when we were renting this place, we had a small pug. This was 7 years ago, and now we have different dogs. But our real estate agent said, look, I'm not telling you to lie, but you may not surrender. You may not just want to surrender that information because they'll, and we didn't. We didn't put on there that we had a dog. 2 days into living here, landlord just happened to come by as we were walking the dog out of the house, and we had to concoct a story about it was my daughter's, you know, dog and visiting and blah 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 whatever. So yeah, you're forced to do that. We're now 7 years later on the move again and looking for a rental space, and that pet piece, it's a lot of stress on people to say we're not, you know, we're at a disadvantage in a sense here just for the sake of being pet lovers and owners. Mm-hmm. If you're not a home owner. So I can, and that's, and listen, we are in, we're fortunate enough to be able to afford market rents for people that are looking for already are disadvantaged. I can't afford market rent, so that the number of places I can afford is already small. The, you know, people competing for those, the numbers are really high. Plus, now I have a pet. So my chances of getting housed with that pet, I'm either going to have to surrender my pet, like they do to you, or live on the street, right? Mm-hmm. So what has to change? What do we do? What are you doing in PEI? What is the Humane Society doing to help support this?
There's a couple different resources that we suggest. So number one, I always suggest if there's a phone number available, call the landlord and talk to them about your pet. I've heard a few stories on PEI where landlords will put out an ad saying, I have a room to rent, or I have an apartment to rent, or what have you. No pets, absolutely no pets. And they call and explain, you know, I have an older pug, let's say, who is, you know, kennel trained and doesn't bark. And I have references to show you that, you know, that is the case, up to date on their vaccines, rabies free, neutered, whatever it is. And the landlord says, okay, well, for your animal, I'll make the exception. It's mostly we find that landlords put it out on the ads, at least in PEI, that the unit is no pets, and when they're expecting a large dog usually. So some of these landlords will make an exception for a small animal. They'll make an exception for a cat. They might be even willing to make an exception for a dog if you can provide references. So we talk about building a pet resume. And that means, you know, going into your network. Maybe you have a landlord currently who's aware of your animal and, you know, can offer a reference for them as well as a reference for you to say, yep, I've had no issues with Fluffy throughout the 3 years this person has lived here. And I can attest that this animal is great. You might want to get your vet records on there and say, you know, they are spayed and neutered. They have the following vaccines. They are microchipped. They are an indoor animal only, that kind of thing. And then the landlord may be willing to make an exception in that case. I think first and foremost, though, right from the hop, for folks who are in the situation where they're unhoused and they have an animal with them, local resources, local housing support resources need to be more amenable to allowing folks to keep their pets. Because we're not just seeing folks at that decision point come in and have to surrender an animal and then, you know, end up unhoused themselves. We're also seeing folks who are unhoused who desperately want to keep their animal, but who are not able to even get into a shelter for the night because the shelter won't take the animal as well. So that's a whole different level of stress for both the animal and for the individual who owns them, right? So that needs to change first and foremost so that those supports are adequate for folks while they're in transition.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, many people experiencing homelessness, the only family that is stuck by them the entire time is that pet, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a faithful companion. And often you'll see people experiencing homelessness will take better care of their pet than they do themselves because, you know, that is what they cherish. They love them, their family, they put them first, right? And to ask them then to give that up or be disloyal. And you're right. I mean, as a shelter provider, myself at Blue Door, we have to get better, come up with different options and work around. It really is just around optics usually. We're like, oh, well, you know, what if they bite someone? What if they, nothing you can't work around. Yeah. My partner, Sylvia, works at Fred Victor, and they were one of the first in Toronto with their co-ed shelter to have a pet friendly. And it hasn't come without its challenges, but nothing they can't work through. Yeah. And then since the whole city of Toronto has now changed to say you have to, because there's one more barrier. If you want it barrier free means barrier free. That means pet friendly, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. At that most vulnerable, that's the last thing you should be doing.
Absolutely. It's such a traumatic experience anyway to be put in that situation to add the further indignity and further trauma of having to part with, like you say, a member of your family. You know, I've spoken with many Islanders who are choosing to live in their vehicles this winter, which has been what I can say from personal experience. It's really cold here right now. And I know of at least three folks that I've spoken to this year who are choosing to live in their vehicle rather than have to surrender their animals. And I understand the decision, but I can only imagine how traumatic that is for them and how devastating it is for the animals at the same time.
Well, let's take a look into the future. What, like in a perfect world, what are some changes you'd love to see in the next few years that would slow your numbers down? I mean, I think you'd love to be less busy, right? But what has to happen for that to happen?
The first thing I'd love to see is, like I said, the supportive programming needs to get in line with folks who have animals. We do have some here centrally within Charlottetown that do have capacity to have animals temporarily. So I can think of one shelter that will allow animals overnight, but does not allow the residents to leave their supplies at the shelter overnight and doesn't allow them to leave their animals there overnight. So how do you as an individual using that resource then go find a job, for instance? You can't go to a job interview or go see an apartment with your animal in tow. So there needs to be some kind of capacity there, a little bit of empathy to allow folks to, even on a temporary basis, leave their animals in a secure place, some kind of kennel resource temporarily. We at our shelter offer Safe Haven, which is an emergency housing service. It's not available constantly. It's available as we hit capacity within our resources. We will provide temporary housing for some of these animals. But what needs to change moving forward is going to be landlords need to look at it as a more reasonable investment to say, okay, if you're going to have a pet, I'm going to expect a pet deposit. I know of a few just friends of mine who would absolutely be willing to pay a deposit of double their rent if they could keep their cats with them or their dogs with them or what have you. So more landlords being willing to have that conversation and be a little bit more flexible, you know, protect your investment, certainly, but understand that you're investing alongside human beings who have human families. And yeah, like I said, the change in the local programming should be the very first thing to change.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the future for the Humane Society. Beautiful new building coming up. When can we expect that to be open? And are there going to be some new services or new happenings there?
Yeah, so our new building we've paused construction for the next couple of months while we continue to fundraise to see it completed. But right now, if you drive down our road in Charlottetown right now, you'll see a huge blue building behind our shelter. So the walls are up, the roof is on, the slab is poured, we're pretty close. My hope is that by this time next year, I would be talking to you from that shelter. So we should be in place here within a year or so. In terms of the change in resources, it's really going to change the capacity for that Safe Haven program. We're going to keep this existing shelter, this building, which of course has kennels built into it. It has animal safe, you know, drainage in certain rooms and that kind of thing. So this building is kind of ideally situated to provide more supportive housing for those animals. So we are unfortunately positioning ourselves to take on more of these unhoused critters because we know that the need is continuing to grow. But our hope is that we'll be able to provide a better capacity for the owners to actually come in and visit with the animals and actually spend time with the animals within their capacity, whether they're in a program or whether they are seeking housing outside of the capital area. We still want to be able to maintain that connection with your pet, even if the pet is not currently staying with you. So that's going to be a huge thing. Of course, the building is going to be about 17,000 square feet, so it's going to provide a lot more space for animals in general. So we'll also see a lot of programming changes. Like we'll have more of the community in, our volunteer program is going to grow, and hopefully we'll become an even larger community resource as we continue to increase capacity.
Very cool. And you mentioned something there. So if someone was to struggle with housing precarity, can they short-term house their dog with you or cat until they can find something?
Yes. So we offer a program right now called Safe Haven. And the program is offered by application. So folks do have to apply and have to somewhat be able to work with us and around our capacity. Because we spend a lot of our time quite full, it is a little bit challenging sometimes to find placement for these animals. But yes, we will provide interim emergency housing for these animals at no cost to the owner. And we'll make sure that the animals are looked after. They fall into our rotation here at the shelter. We offer the program completely confidentially as well. So if someone is fleeing domestic violence, perhaps, and that's the reason that they're unhoused, if somebody is perhaps in a program to help with addictions or mental health related matters, we'll sometimes bring the animal in, but we'll change their name. We don't photograph those animals. So they just fall into our routine here at the shelter, and we just let folks know, nope, that animal's not up for adoption. They're only here temporarily. So they just kind of become part of the family for a little while. And sometimes we have them for several months. Sometimes we have them for a couple of days. It just depends on the individual's needs. But we're very proud of that program. But it's seen a huge increase in demand since 2018. We've seen, I believe last year, the calculation was about a 300% growth in just demand for that program. So that's phone calls, emails, inquiries, you name it. And that program, Safe Haven, is one of the reasons we're full most of the time.
That is such a cool program. Listen, thank you for all you do. This, like, you're doing some critical work. I think often when you say homelessness, humane society, people are like, well, you know, of course, homeless pets, but we're talking about homelessness and how it affects both people and their animals. And you're doing life-saving work around that. If people want to support, help with the campaign to get this building built, they want to find out more about you, they want to learn from programs like Safe Haven, where do they go?
You can head over to peihumanesociety.com, or you can head over and follow us on Facebook at PEI Humane Society. We would love to have you, and you can learn all about our programs and services there.
Perfect. I've had to mute my mic a few times because my own dog, Jojo, is barking. He's not podcast friendly. The two dogs that we have, a giant one and a little one. Listen, I'm from one dog owner to another pet owner, and thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the host of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.